Good morning. Today is Thursday, June the 21st, first day of summer. And Mr. Sunshine is with us this morning. Good morning, Fred.
Well, I'm glad Mr. Sunshine is here because Mr. Sunshine certainly isn't out there right now.
Oh, gee.
I know.
You're sounding like someone else in my family.
Debbie Downer. You better look up Debbie Downer. Yeah. Where did that come from in there?
Let's see. Our phrase this morning, accost. What is the reason a person who speaks to you without introduction is said to accost you?
Must have something to do with cost, breaking down the root words.
Okay. You had the right direction. Your definition was, like, way wrong. But, you know, you said it as Mr. Sunshine, so we can't bust your chops too hard on that one. It's because he usually sidles up to you. The Latin word for side is costa, and accost literally means at the side.
Okay.
You went to the right language. Just the wrong part of the dictionary there, huh?
There you go. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Interesting times.
Always interesting times, yes.
We heard from Michael out bicycling. Where was he, Winston? Colorado. Kansas.
Yes, I talked to him when he's in Kansas. You know, I have a I've been talking to him about every other night or so, give him a call and just see what's going on. I think he likes the nighttime calls. Easier to talk because it's cooler and
less traffic.
Keeps him awake too.
That was the impressive thing. Chris Hartley was here and Jenny, and they kind of did the show, so I got the chance to wander into the production room and listen. The truck's going by. It was like, man, I hope he has a kite.
Yeah.
Big billowy shirt, something to take advantage of the drafting up behind those big things.
Yes, yes.
But
what's interesting, they say the number one danger, and he may have talked about this, of these riders is falling asleep on their bicycle and drifting into the traffic.
Yeah, that's or the support rig having somebody not as attentive and bumping them from behind.
Yes.
Getting too close, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
So have you talked to him since Monday?
I have. I talked to him last night, as a matter of fact. He made a big checkpoint at the Mississippi River, and it was a little bit close, I would say. He was sweating it a little bit, literally and figuratively. And
a little bit?
Yes, yes. And but he did make it. He did make it. And the reason, and this is just according to his conversation last night, the reason that he thought he didn't make it was because he was a little bit over his time. But what he did in pushing it so much over the last couple of days was he was able to get some bonus time because he passed several riders. He told me like somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 riders. And so that earned him bonus time, which made it good for him to go on that checkpoint from that bonus time. So he's back at it. He was excited last night because he said he got 2 hours of sleep. So, wow. But I guess in perspective, that's double what he got the previous two nights.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, you can understand sleep deprivation.
Yes.
So what was his food craving last night?
Oh, I didn't ask that question.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes.
They were sharing. He had a Big Mac for the first time in a long period of time, craving French fries. I mean, all these, yeah.
Right, right.
Well, Mike think that he could be pregnant, but it's not. Yeah, something's changed, obviously. Yeah, that he's doing things. You know, if he was hoping for ice cream, that could get ugly.
Right.
I think.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's you've heard this before, but it's a psychological battle for him to just make it through here.
It's probably like running a marathon. I mean, I've heard rumors about what marathon guys
on steroids have to do.
Well, I mean, you get to the wall.
Right.
Okay. Well, he may have 10 walls that he has to punch through to get this thing done.
Right.
But
right.
The concept of the wall, and then when you get through it, all of a sudden then you have either the endorphins kick in or you're so numb it doesn't matter at that
right.
point.
Right, right.
So where's he? You crossed the Mississippi last evening?
Correct. Well, yesterday afternoon, sometime around, I think it was 12:30 or so our time. And so now he is east of the Mississippi, pedaling away.
So does he start, the final destination is?
Right up around New York.
So he's got to start going northeast here pretty quick.
Correct.
So he may be in like Tennessee.
Maybe.
Missouri, Tennessee.
Probably not quite. Yeah, probably Missouri is what I'm thinking, somewhere around there. So.
Well, once you cross the river, it's your choice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
either you get wet or you get into Missouri. Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Any idea how the fundraising is going?
I don't know that. I have not been. I did my donation.
When you talk to him, what do you talk to him about?
I talk to him.
You're talking about food, and you're not talking about money. Fatigue.
Yeah, we talk about his day. We talk about how it's going. You know, of course, I give him a hard time about all the work he's supposed to be doing back at the school site.
No. Certainly, yeah, that's fair game. Yeah.
No, I don't do that. But no, we just, you know what, we don't talk about a lot of real deep stuff. Just about how his day's going, and I actually let him lead the conversation most of the way.
Just let it
what's
keep
happening.
Going.
Right.
One
right.
thing that I had hoped, and I don't, they may have asked it, but you know, I was kind of running around a little bit. Was to find out if he had the opportunity. I know his daughter had said, and Susie also, that she was kind of developing a travelogue of where to come back.
Mm-hmm.
If he's able to appreciate some of the vistas, or if he's so focused on the front wheel and stay on the pavement, follow the white line, that he doesn't have a chance to kind of poke up and look around a little bit.
Well, the other night when I talked to him as he was going through Kansas, that was... I talked to him, I was coming back from a fair board meeting in Ferndale, and so it was like 9:30 our time, so it would have been...
Late.
Yes.
11:30,
yes,
yeah.
Midnight, close to there. And he said it was about 80 degrees. Off to his left was a thunderstorm with lightning and thunder, and off to his right was the stars, and he said it was just fantastic. Not what he pictured Kansas to be.
Yeah, the Midwest weather patterns are... Intriguing.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's going through before the fly hatch, which is even better. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck from Eureka City Schools. I've been told I should start talking about the Gourmet Club, so I'm just trying to figure out when I put in the live plug, and it's not going to be now. I got to think about it.
We have the culinary arts program at the high school and also at Zobarnum campus.
Now, that's part of the career tech stuff. Is the governor continuing to fund that properly?
Fund it, yes, properly? No.
Okay. Are the programs at risk?
The programs are not at risk, no. No. CTE is such an important component to the community up here and to the students. We need to have students who are prepared to go out in industry. You think about the shortage of folks in the career technical fields right now and the amount of money that can be made out there. There's actually a recent study that I read that talked about, is college really worth it? And it did some comparisons.
Now, that's starting to get a lot of comment. I don't know if it's triggered by the study or just in general terms. What's the value of a college education?
Right.
And the debt that it sets up for young people for the subsequent 10 to 15 years, unless they're in a spot either where they don't have to pay for it or they don't have to pay for it, you know, whether it's government or financial funds available,
right,
or if they can work their way through. But for a vast majority, they're looking at 15 to 20-year payouts. And what does that debt load do on top of everything else that they're trying to do?
And we've done this to ourselves to a certain extent, because here's the interesting thing, and I couldn't give the exact number off the top of my head, but there's an extraordinary high number of folks who are working in jobs with a college education where they're vastly overqualified. And the reason that they get into those positions is employers, us included, have no real way to measure the likelihood of success of a potential candidate into a job into the future. And so we default to the education. And so, oh, they have a college diploma, so they must be good. Instead of somebody who doesn't have a college diploma who's really good, it's hard to make that judgment. And so we many times pass up people who don't have a college education in jobs for someone who does. And so we overinflate the need for a college education.
Or you get into a spot where life skills kind of outweighs the training skills.
Right.
And you get crisscrossed with some of those. I would imagine if you had the flexibility, there's a number of class offerings that are taught at, you pick any school district, it's not specific to Eureka, where real life experience outweighs having a pedigree.
Absolutely.
Ag would be a natural one just because, you know, you get somebody who's got calluses on their hands versus somebody who's been a classroom lecturer.
Right.
Okay. You know, yeah, each brings a unique skill set to the table, but who's more practical?
Right, right. And you can go down the line, wood shop, auto shop, all kinds of areas.
Chemistry
like
could
that.
Be dangerous, however.
Yes. And you're not referring to the chemistry between the boys and girls.
No, no, that's biology, Kiyosabe. Yeah, no kidding. So it's got to be tough, you know, when you guys go into the hiring modes.
It is.
What do you look for, unless it's in the classified areas where you need an electrician, you hire an electrician. You know, it doesn't matter if they have an advanced degree in physics or an advanced degree in whatever electrical engineering would fall under.
Our classified ranks, we actually have a high number of folks with a bachelor's degree, though. I mean, that's really not uncommon.
In the related field or just a
bachelor's
they went through?
Degree. Yeah. A lot of folks who went through Humboldt State and came around.
Got a degree and then.
Yep, they're doing the clerical
else, yeah.
or a classroom aide or something like that and have a degree.
So would that be one of the overhires?
In my estimation, yes. And the rationale behind that is, can somebody do that without a college degree? And that's not discounting the people who have the college degree. I mean, I have a doctorate. So I'm here I go talking about college degrees. And I'm not going to sit here and say that a college degree is not important.
Well, and being an ag guy, you know what PhD stands for, so we don't have to worry about that.
Correct. Yes, I do. But I guess the point is you really have to measure what is your ultimate career goal, and is an apprentice program or a trade school a better route for you? Because I'll tell you what, there's electricians that are going out there, or plumbers, or name the trade, who are making a heck of a lot more money than somebody fresh out of college.
Well, think of the culinary arts schools that are around.
Right.
You know, most of them aren't four-year programs.
Right.
But what they kick out is something very extraordinary.
Right, right.
Okay, so... Do you find that a lot of the counselors?
The proof of that is in the diners club around here and the restaurants that you have signed up for that, correct?
Oh, nice bring around. Yeah, I'll bounce an idea off of you. It's been an interesting experience putting it all together, too. I guess some of the value added stuff during the break. But it's intriguing for me that a lot of times we get caught into the whatever you want to call it, whirlwind, tidal wave, whatever. And a lot of it's driven not by the kids, but by mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
The opportunity to brag.
Right.
Oh, my son's going to blank.
Right, right.
Okay, rather than my kid wants to be, and we're going into a specialized training program for him.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think about that even with my own son, who's going to Chico State. Both Christine and I went to Cal Poly. And he got into Cal Poly, tremendously difficult school to get into, and he chose Chico State. And our first reaction was, oh, he's not going to Cal Poly. But then you think about it, he's choosing his own path, and we're very happy for him.
Yes, we are, dear.
We are.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka City School Superintendent and Ag Dude, Fred Van Fleck. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit.
Nice, nice.
CDH Painting and Lolita Cheese. Lolita Cheese.
Yes, yes.
All right, I figured out what I wanted to say this morning about the dining club. We're doing it now, new price. You can go to the website. You're here, and yeah, it's $69.99 for one of the booklets, but it's been interesting for me, and I don't, you know, you guys have been around long enough, and you've been around longer time in spurts. how many cool restaurants there are in the area that I had no recognition of? One of them is with us, Cecil's in Garberville. I've not run into too many folks who are familiar with, okay, New Orleans style. Okay, cool fare. I went to school with her. Hmm. Had no clue until we went up the stairs and sat down to present the idea, and there she is. What year did you go? Oh, or did you play basketball as how it started? Yeah, no, not in high school, but at Humboldt. Oh. Yeah, Eureka High, I figured I had to be the smart guy instead of the jock. Oh. All of a sudden, I hear from her. What year? Since 78. Me too. What?
Right.
And it progressed, yeah, from that point. I thought, how cool is it? How many others are, yeah, whether in the culinary arts or wherever they may happen to be, that are in the area in these little undiscovered gems that are throughout the area that we don't know about? So anyway, Cecil's is one of the 12. You can get involved.
I've never been there. Yep.
Give us a call. Mm-hmm. I hadn't either, but I won't be able to say that after next week.
There you go, yes.
And it just, you know, that some of that kind of stuff, as an educator, that's got to be cool for you to be able to know that there are these opportunities. People can do these things. They don't have to leave. They can if they want to. But they don't have to follow their passion and put together a pretty good day-to-day living.
Right. Right. And it's interesting, and that's an interesting segue into what we're working with enrollment right now and the number of people that we have leaving Humboldt County. So enrollment, we track very closely because that's obviously how a school district gets its funds to educate the students that are in the classrooms. And right now, our enrollment for next year is tracking down about 150 students over what we were last year at this time. And equate that, you know, 150 students is 1.5 million.
And that's not the Coasties doing their rotation.
It's not. And so we also track, there's another thing we track, are the students in and out, and the students out, where do they go? And over 50% of those students who are leaving Eureka City Schools, because we have a natural attrition out and we generally have students coming in, it's that mobility rate that's real common, that happens all the time. But what's abnormal right now is that our attrition out is higher than our attrition in. We haven't had this in the last 5 years. We've been basically a flat enrollment district over the previous 5 years. But what's interesting is over half, it's about 60% of those students are leaving the area completely or leaving the state. And so that brings up the question, why there are so many people right now leaving the area?
And do you think it has anything to do with the legalization?
I do. I think
you have that sense that some of it could be,
well, if you think about it, what
following the market or leaving because it has become legal?
I think there's two different things there. I think that that is the biggest thing that you can look at. Okay, what's changed so much in the last 5 years? And I think that's the easiest, biggest thing that's out there glaring.
Yeah, it's in front of us.
It's anecdotal, but I believe that's what it is. And I think there's two groups of people. I think there's a group of people who are disgusted with it and are just tired of the stigma of Humboldt County and leave. And then I think there's the other group who were involved in industry where the prices have come down. It's not as lucrative as it was. The wave is kind of crested, if you will. And so they're on to greener pastures.
Now, the governor has changed the compensation per student a little bit more than what it was. Does that fill that gap for you? I mean, certainly you want more kids, but how much of that $1.5 million is there versus how much is there after the increased compensation level per student?
It does not fill it. So the budget out of the state is a decent budget. We will have some revenue growth. They're fully, what they're calling fully funding the local control funding formula. And when I say they, here's the interesting thing. California still, even after this budget, we don't have the new figures yet, but even after this budget, we'll be in the bottom 10 states of funding as far as per pupil funding. But what we pay teachers, we are in the top half of the states. And so there's definitely a disconnect.
Labor cost is a little bit higher in California,
right.
which probably is not a shocker for
right.
for
cost
a lot of
folks. Living. I mean, it's just yeah. it's just a reality. But when you have that disconnect between what you bring in and what you give out, when labor accounts for about 85% of our budget, when you have those downturns, where it comes out of is straight out of what you can put in the classroom.
Doesn't impact the project at the high school with the new gym.
No,
or any
that's
of the other items.
That's yeah, all that's completely separately funded. That comes out of local dollars from Measure S, a local bond, and then the matching dollars coming out of Sacramento as far as the school construction funding. So the impact won't be there.
KINS News and Information Times.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to talk shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. So Jacobs is back up on the front burner, so to speak, huh?
Yeah.
You know,
yes. we had a little fire over there.
We've got a couple of buds who live in that area, and we drive by it more regularly now than what we have in the past. And, you know, Fred, it's really tough not to think that if this was Jefferson School, if this was Grand Elementary School, there would have been so much more public pressure to get something done. Even if it was just to weed whack the darn thing and throw $1,000 of paint on it each year so it didn't look like the ghetto, so to speak. Is this going to be, and I know the asbestos abatement and all that stuff, it doesn't pencil out, but is this going to be the impetus to either just to knock it down and have a field there or to start doing something so it isn't a haven for those looking for shelter?
So there's two potential projections or pathways that Jacobs may follow. And the first one is exactly that, abate and demolish. And so the first step of demolishing a building is abatement. That building was built in the early 60s, so it does have lead-based paint and asbestos in it. And so those two materials would have to be abated. We've done the study on a couple of the buildings. We have a bid going to the board. It's already closed, going to the board for their approval, which I think they will approve at the end of this month. And then we will start to dismantle building by building as we can afford it, the Jacobs campus and Blank Field. The problem has been all the way up to this point, we figured that a total abatement and demolition of the campus is going to be somewhere between $1 and $2 million. We think closer to the $2 million mark. And do you spend that money on something that doesn't house students? Or do you spend that money on something that houses students? And so when you put it in that perspective, the board has always erred on where
yeah,
to spend
tough,
it where the students are.
But you got it as a liability that's sitting
right
there, too. We,
and it's just gotten to a point that it's extremely difficult to keep the homeless folks out of there and people that don't need to be in there out of there. Too much response by the police department and our
crews. It's got to be a liability. If a fire starts there and jumps
right
the street.
Right. So what we're doing, like I said, is that building by building. There is another piece that is a possible scenario. We're in conversations with another public agency who's interested in office space. And so there may be a venue where we can modernize a couple of those buildings and then enter into a long-term lease with them, which would pay for the modernization. And so the buildings would be there. They would be able to use them. And
so you fix up a couple, you knock down a couple.
Exactly. And we like the idea of someone being out there, having a tenant out there, because then it just really helps that vicinity even better than just a blank field.
Yeah, the neighborhood is up, plus, you know, the elementary school has got somebody there 12 months of the year also. So I would think that would be preferred.
And just so everyone knows, it's not the offices has nothing to do with a prison or, you know, a juvenile hall or anything like that.
Or bus yard.
Yes.
Yeah.
So nothing crazy like that. Nothing crazy.
Yeah. Well, I'll twist his arm during the break. We'll see what we can share next month about this one then. That's cool stuff. And this will be determined next week at the board meeting?
Correct. Next week at the board meeting will be the abatement, because even if we modernize, we have to abate the building.
Still got to clean it up, man.
Yes.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Have fun at the fair.
Oh, yeah.
See everybody tomorrow.